Is that it? We're actually live? This is live radio? Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and the nation's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Welcome, everybody. I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank Bob for allowing me to sit in the prestigious Bob Enyart Live chair. So thankful. Bob is off. Where is Bob? Is it a secret mission? Am I allowed to talk about it? It's a secret? It's a secret. No, it's Noah's Ark. That's not a secret. That's huge. Bob has gone on a grand tour of the Midwest, including a visit to the Noah's Ark experience. And I'm sure a great time will be had by all. And while Bob is gone, I'm here to hold down the fort. I want to apologize to all the listeners of the Weekly Worldview for keeping you on the edge of your seat. I know you expected me yesterday, but we all felt that Joe Scott and Leslie Hanks' interview with Shoban Pitcher was far more important than my silly musings. And so I was delayed a day for something, well, just frankly more important. But people need to know about the birth control pill. It's a highly powerful concoction of hormones and other chemicals, and anyway, it's just nothing to be trifled with. And we certainly appreciate Joe and Leslie for coming on and letting people know the truth about the dangers involved in choking off your posterity, which is also a horrible idea. How about that? How about the idea of not wanting to have kids is a bad idea? How about we just start right there? Then we can get into the chemicals and the side effects and all the bad things associated with the birth control pill, the promiscuity. But just the idea of choking off our progeny is a sign that the entire nation is mentally deranged. And so thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it. I am here now, though, with reason number 1,083 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Number 1,084, in no particular order, would be that they could probably get the birth control pill and you would never even know about it. Could that possibly be true? That a young lady in a public school could get the birth control pill without her parents' knowledge? Banish the thought. Surely that couldn't happen. Well, just on the outside chance that it could happen, please get or keep your children out of the government schools. We go to Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Don't we have friends right around Rocky Mount, North Carolina? Friends and or family? Seems like we do. Anyway, a wonderful state and a wonderful place to raise your children as long as you keep them out of the government schools, because a math teacher has been arrested down there for having, do I even have to say it? This is a female teacher, 25 years old. What's a 25-year-old woman doing teaching kids at school anyways? That seems to me to be fraught with peril. Or a 25-year-old man, for that matter. Me, the people I want teaching my kids, I want them at least in their 40s or 50s, and I want them to have already had kids and taken them through the entire process and gotten them out into the world safely. Then I might trust you with educating my kids. But if you're 25, no. Thank you very much. No thank you. So we homeschool our kids, and my daughter has a history professor and a chemistry professor. And what's the other favorite subject? I think it's our math professor. We never have to worry about them molesting our daughter because she watches them on the TV screen on a DVD. So even if they were some kind of weirdo, you just take that out of the mix. And by the way, the chemistry and the history that my 15-year-old daughter is studying right now far outstrips anything I ever learned at my public high school. She corrects me on history, which is kind of embarrassing, but it's also encouraging. 25-year-old Aaron McAuliffe was teaching math at the Rocky Mount Preparatory School and apparently was also having inappropriate relations with students, male students. Police insist, though, that the alleged activities took place off campus. So how is this happening? How is it that a 25-year-old woman, number one, How is it that a 25-year-old person is entrusted to teach children without the parents being immediately available? That right there is a problem for me. But why is it that a 25-year-old female is engaged in such activity with 16 and 17-year-old boys in high school? How does that happen? I've got a one-word answer for you, America. I know why it's happening. Pornography. The ubiquitous nature of pornography saturating our culture is turning even young women into sexual predators. That's what it is. Pornography, couple that with the institution of the godless government school, and you have a recipe guaranteed to produce what we have just seen take place in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And by the way, this takes place every single day in America somewhere. A teacher is arrested, detained, fired for just this type of behavior. So there you have it. Reason number 1,083 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They might be molested by their math teacher. Yeah. It's a pretty good reason. All right. Now, speaking of high school, should I go right to the letter from a schoolgirl? I've had all my listeners on the edge of their seat for over a day now. They've been waiting to hear the letter from a schoolgirl. And so should I do that before I do? Let's do that now. Because I was invited, I was honored, as a matter of fact, to be invited by the Abolish Human Abortion Organization leaders here in Denver to participate in some witnessing down at East High School back on or about May 14th, 15th, 16th. And we basically just stood outside the school on the public thoroughfare there, and we just told the children and the teachers and the security people, and there were a lot of security people, we told all of them the truth about the living God, and that the living God created the universe, and from the beginning he made us male and female, and you're not to murder the innocent. Simple, basic, fundamental instruction that every student needs to hear. And that's what we did. And, well, we upset some people, as you can well imagine. This all goes back to my phobic nature that I have, that tendency to repel. Yes, I'm phobic. So the students there, some of them responded in an interesting manner. They liked some of us. They didn't like some of us. But the important thing is they heard the truth. They heard things that you could tell by the glint in their little eyes. They heard things that they had never heard before. And that they were astounded that things like this could possibly be true. And I hope at least a couple of them, after going home and moving on with their lives, took the time to look into whether or not the things they heard for the first time in their young lives had any basis in truth and might be relevant to them and how they live their lives. That's what I hope for. But I don't hold out a whole lot of hope. I'm a pessimist. I'm very pessimistic in a temporal sense. I'm extremely jaded and pessimistic. And this letter, first of all, the letter is typewritten. And there are no paragraphs. It's improperly spaced. The grammar is horrific. But I think I know exactly the person who wrote the letter. And she's certainly old enough to understand the idea of separating out a paragraph, indentation, simple things like that. But a delightful young lady, other than the fact that she kept swearing at me and kissing other girls. That's who I think wrote the letter. I'm not sure, but I have here a letter from a schoolgirl is it to me? No, wait a second here. Let me get to the end. Was this written specifically? Well, it was written to no one in particular, and it was signed by no one in particular. So we'll just have to assume that this letter is directed to everyone at Abolish Human Abortion and American Right to Life and KGOV and Denver Bible Church. This is for all of you. A letter from a schoolgirl. Offended. May 15th, 2017. To whom it may concern. I am writing today not to ask you to change your ideas. I am not writing this because I believe I am God to dictate right and wrong. I am writing this today to maybe convince to, I'm sorry, I have to, I'll correct the grammar as I go. I apologize. I am writing this today to maybe convince you to take a step back, to like realize the effects your action have on the people and the world around you. Oh, by the way, I'll be inserting the word like in all the places where I know this particular young lady would have inserted the word like, because she inserted it like every third to seventh word when she spoke. And so I will not only correct her grammar, but I'll also give you the feeling for the context and how she delivered her message regarding the effects your actions have on the people and the world around you. Today at my high school, a couple of your members came to advocate pro-life. When my best friend asked about his views on homosexuality, your representative started to mock him and call him a homo. I respect your beliefs, and I respect the right everyone has to, like, express those beliefs. I am simply asking your organization to respect the rights of children to go to school without being forced to look at pamphlets of dead babies and writings forcing religion on them. I respect your right to promote your ideas. All right, I'll come out of character here. So she's obviously experiencing some cognitive dissonance. Everything we did is antithetical to everything she believes. However, she supports our right to do it. She's just asking us to, like, reconsider. Back to the letter from a schoolgirl. This is East High School, Denver, Colorado, circa 2017. We are reminded by our schoolgirl friend that, quote, students, like, come to school to, like, learn and be pushed to examine themselves and realize what defines right from wrong for them individually. I may have different beliefs than your representative, your representatives that were at my high school, but that is no cause for you to upset my education. I hope you will consider my words and take your protest elsewhere, away from where children go to have a safe and productive learning environment, free from, like, harassment. Thank you. And then she didn't sign her name. So, should we analyze what the young lady has to say? Does it even warrant analysis? Perhaps. So I will confess that I am the representative, and I apologize to abolish human abortion if I've offended anyone. I am the representative who called the kid who kept lisping at me like a homo. Not only did I call him a homo, I told him, would you drop the homo lisp and talk like a boy, please? And the whole crowd was like, ooh. Anyway, he had blue fingernail polish and his hair was bleached. And he just lisped so intensely that it was obviously affected. So I just told him, look, drop the homo lisp and we can talk. So yeah, I definitely wanted to offend the young man. And I told him that God made you a man. You can talk like a man. Don't remember that I got much further with the young man. But just knowing he was offended is enough. She wants us to respect the rights of children to go to school without being forced to look at pamphlets of dead babies. I don't think we handed out any pamphlets with dead babies. I think what we held up were 4x8 foot pictures of dead babies. Were there some dead babies in the pamphlets too? Well, if there's something that a young kid who thinks that abortion is a legitimate choice in their life, if there's something they absolutely need to see, it's pictures of babies killed by abortion. It's just as if someone would have come in and started telling these students, let's say the faculty and the administration, the governing officials all the way up to the President of the United States and the National Education Association, if they all decided to teach the kids that slavery was a legitimate option that you are open to choose in a free and open society, it's just a lifestyle choice. And then we went down there and showed them pictures of slaves who had their backs flayed by the whips of the slave master. It's the same thing. And hopefully we will reach a point sometime in history in the not too distant future where our efforts at East High School to teach the children the truth about what child killing is looked upon in the same light as the abolitionists of old who told everyone what the truth really was about slavery, because it was a topic that people would have much rather just avoided. And so it's interesting, whenever you're discussing child killing, the conversation inevitably careens into homosexuality. For some reason, it was the homos and the lesbians who were at the front of the group and who wanted to scream the loudest and who wanted to fight the most. And you would think that the homos and the lesbians have the least to say about the subject, but they had a lot to say. And so we debated with them, and hopefully we made some efforts. Oh, she says, students come to school to learn and be pushed to examine themselves and realize what defines right from wrong for them individually. So she could have stopped with right from wrong. Students come to school to learn and to be pushed to examine themselves and realize what defines right from wrong. That she could have stopped right there, not for them individually. See, this is the toxic influence of the socialist, leftist, godless administration at the school. A young person wants to know right from wrong. That's naturally innate, and it's built into us. We want to know right from wrong. But it is only a public school administrator enabled by the legislature and the governor and all the lawyers running the country. It is only that type of person that can cause a child to believe they can find what is right from wrong for them individually. There is no right from wrong individually. There is right from wrong. And I would posit that our efforts at East High School were one of the times when this particular student was pushed to examine herself to realize what defines right from wrong. I doubt she was pushed in any more significant fashion during the entire school year than she was for those 3 days that we were down there pushing, so to speak. Yes, we were pushing. Anyway, that's the letter from the school girl. Is there anything else that's worthy of analysis? She says, I hope you will, like, consider my words. And so we've done that. I think we've satisfied that demand. And take your protests elsewhere, which we will probably do next time. Probably won't go to East High School for fear of being gunned down on the way out, among other things. But there are many other public schools and many other public forums at which the leadership and the membership of Abolish Human Abortion will do just that, young lady. We will take our, what does she call it? Take our protest elsewhere. This wasn't really a protest. It's really a witnessing opportunity. That's the letter from a schoolgirl. I'm sorry if you're disappointed. It is what it is. There you have it. Reason number 1085 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They'll end up writing a letter like this, where a guy who barely graduated high school ends up having to correct their grammar as the letter is read on the air. That in and of itself is embarrassing. All right, so there we have that. Should we move on to the national news? I know you're all waiting with bated breath to find out my take on the latest machinations of the James Comey Russian investigation and the special counsel and the special prosecutor. And, you're not going to get any of that here. So if you're looking for a respite from the never-ending drumbeat of incredibly boring and borderline fictitious coverage of what's happening in Washington, D.C., you've found the right place. I will give you a respite, at least from the machinations around the whole Russian. What is the deal now? The Russians, what did the Russians do? I forget. We don't even want to cover it. But let's go to the Pentagon because I do want to take you to Washington. And prepare to be disappointed. Conservatives, put you on alert. Prepare to be disappointed. The Washington Times is reporting that conservatives are expressing disappointment. Disappointment in the Trump administration because the Trump administration has decided to continue Barack Obama's agenda for the military by hosting an LGBT pride celebration right there in the Pentagon. Did you get that? An LGBT pride celebration right there at the Pentagon. Now, Barack Obama started doing this back in 2012 when his idea for painting the Pentagon in rainbow colors was rejected. He decided to just work from the inside out. You remember when Barack Obama lit up the White House like a rainbow flag? Do you guys remember that? He lit up the White House with rainbow lights on the eve of the Supreme Court opinion that homosexual marriage was somehow to be considered marriage. from what we understand, there's a rumor he submitted plans to actually paint the Pentagon to resemble a gay pride flag. But for various reasons, budgetary, that was rejected. So Barry just decided to work with the pile of homos inside the Pentagon to host an annual gala. A gala, I said. Isn't that what homos have, a gala? Every year now, the piles and piles of homos and lesbians that the Obama administration and the Bush administration and the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, do we need to go back any further? All the homos that the previous administrations have allowed and recruited into the Pentagon, they get together every year now and they have a gala. And hapless, moronic, gullible conservatives thought that Donald Trump would end this practice. Well, sorry to disappoint you, but Donald Trump has continued the LGBT pride celebrations going on in the Pentagon this month. A memo went out June 2nd. Now, was that after Donald Trump was inaugurated president? Or would that be during, let's see, June 2nd? I think Donald Trump was well ensconced in the White House at that point. And I believe he had even appointed a new defense secretary, if I'm not mistaken. But the memo went out saying that the queers can pile upon each other there at the LGBT pride celebrations at the Pentagon. And conservatives are denying their gullibility and actually expecting us to believe that they are disappointed. And I'm talking about conservative heavy hitters. Tony Perkins signed a letter saying he's not happy. L. Brent Bozell, not pleased, signed a statement saying, well, here's what, who else? Gary Bauer. Gary Bauer, possibly the most bamboozled Christian in the history of bamboozlery, is Gary Bauer. And he wrote, he signed on to, listen to this. This is where the conservatives come down on the administration's promotion of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgendered, and every other type of sexual pervert parading around in the Pentagon pridefully and celebrating their deviance and their perversion. This is where the conservatives come down. This is the statement signed by Brent Bozell, Gary Bauer, Tony Perkins, Judson Phillips, who I never heard of, but I'm sure he's somebody. They signed a statement saying the following, quote, conservative leaders strongly support the principle of peace through strength, and therefore the need for immediate action to return the priority of the Department of Defense to restoring America's military readiness and ending costly and distracting social engineering, unquote. So this is why the alleged conservatives in the pro-family industry, and by the way, that's who these people are, Brent Bozell, Judson Phillips, Gary Bauer, Tony Perkins. This is the pro-family industry. So they raise money by raising the alarm about the attack on the American family, yet they do not understand the source of the attack. And when you don't know your enemy, you are destined to be defeated. You see, Tony, Brent, Gary, the problem with LGBT pride festivities in the Pentagon, the problem is not the fact that it is distracting us from military readiness. That may be one of the side effects. But the problem is, it is the open promotion of perversion and mental illness and filthy, disgusting sexual behavior that destroys people's lives and souls. That's the problem. I don't know that Gary Bauer and Tony Perkins and Brent Bozell and the other, I don't know if they really understand that anymore. They think it's a matter of budgetary priorities. Shouldn't we focus on building more tanks rather than promoting LGBT? Where are our priorities? This is costly. Well, forget the costs in dollars and cents. Dollars and cents can always be made up. We can always make up for the misspending of our government in dollars and cents. But when they openly promote perversion and rebellion and mental illness within the ranks of the military, that is something that cannot be made up later by working harder to make more money, because that actually destroys lives and souls, and yes, military readiness, but not because of the budgetary issues, It's because of the moral issues, the moral decay that they are promoting. So once again, speaking for Donald Trump, I am sorry that you conservatives are disappointed. But you should have known better when Trump held up that flag. Does anyone remember that? He held up the homo flag. Homos for Trump, it said, something like that. He said, I'm going to be the biggest homo-loving president in the history of... Words to that effect. Anyway. So none of us should be surprised. All right, so let's go to Chelsea Manning, who I will call Bradley, because Chelsea Manning was born a man, and this goes on to our Pentagon story here. Bradley Manning did his first interview, apparently, when asked how he sees himself by Nightline anchor Juju Chang. Are you guys familiar with Nightline? Anybody remember? So Nightline started in 1979 during the hostage crisis, and it was one of the better hard news nighttime shows. But it has devolved and degenerated to the point where if you check out Nightline now, and I'm not suggesting that you do, but if you do, you'll notice that the first segment is news and politics, and then after that, it's basically all pornography. It's just the rampant promotion of pornography packaged in NBC products, right? Is it NBC or is it ABC? ABC, Disney, right? Nightline, is it ABC? Help me out. My board op has no clue. He doesn't even watch TV. He's like, ABC, what is that? That's the first three letters of the alphabet. It's like I'm speaking Greek to him. He has no idea. Nightline has degenerated under the leadership of co-anchors like Juju Chang into basically a vehicle for the promotion of pornographic ABC Disney products. Let me just leave it at that. Anyway, Juju asked Bradley Manning, how is he doing? Does he feel like he owes the American public an apology? Bradley Manning said the following, I accept responsibility for my actions. Anything I've done, it's me. There's no one else. No one told me to do this. Nobody directed me to do this. This is me. It's on me. That was Bradley Manning's response. By the way, Bradley Manning leaked 700,000 classified documents to WikiLeaks, and they were made available to all of our enemies. So it's one of the greatest acts of treason in the history of the United States military. And Juju asked Bradley if he felt he owed the American people an apology, and Bradley basically said, no, I don't. In fact, he said, me. It's all about me, said Bradley Manning. So what compelled Bradley to risk his career? Manning said, we're getting all this information from all these different sources. It's death and destruction and mayhem. And at one point, I just stopped seeing statistics and I started seeing people.
Yeah, right.
The fact is, Bradley Manning was a mentally ill, self-hating homosexual. And in whatever job and responsibilities he found himself in, he was going to find a way to lash out as a mentally deranged, self-hating homosexual who has now gone transgendered and just done the whole thing. Barack Obama commuted Bradley's sentence. He's out of jail. And, well, he's talking about himself, as you can well imagine, as mentally ill people tend to focus on themselves. Are we already out of time? That's it? It's definitely the fastest half hour in radio. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Bob Enyart for allowing me to be here. Thank you for listening. Join us again as soon as you can. And until then, I'll remind you, as Bob would, to do right and risk the consequences.